Thanks, Trevor. Good morning, everyone. Just on the first page, just to give you an overview, I think another good quarter for the company. Just to summarize some of the highlights, despite the general volatility, our environment continues to improve and get better. We had strong top-line performance, and the leading indicators are getting better. We had industrial revenue growth of 8%, 5% industrial organic revenue growth, 12% international growth with Brazil up, Australia, China, and India. Infrastructure orders were up in the quarter and had real strength in both equipment and services. Earnings growth continues. Operating EPS was up 65%. GE Capital had a really good quarter, as did healthcare, transportation, and aviation. Energy infrastructure had lower first half, but we expect growth to resume in the second half. A solid execution. The GE balance sheet continues to be very strong. The GE Capital portfolio transformation is ahead of plan, and $82 billion of cash on the company's balance sheet. And we're executing a capital allocation plan kind of in line with what we've talked about with investors in the past. We announced our third dividend increase this morning. We're up 50% since the second quarter of 2010. We've bought back $2.3 billion of stock since we restarted our buyback. And we've either closed or announced substantial transactions, really in our energy business, one small one in our healthcare business. So we continue to execute on our capital allocation plan. From an order standpoint, we had strong orders in the quarter, up 13% overall and 10% organically. Our strength was across the board, and backlog grew to a record of $177 billion. It's worth pointing out some of the positive trends in energy. We had strength in both equipment and services. Pricing appears to be stabilizing. And most importantly, large gas turbine quote activity is increasing. So we did see solid orders growth in the first quarter. From an execution and operations standpoint, like I said in December, we're investing more in research and development, about 12% more in the first quarter of 2011. This is producing more new products, and that's helping to drive our orders growth. From a margin standpoint, we're down year over year. This is primarily in our energy business due to two primary factors: wind turbine pricing and acquisition revenues at lower margins. Overall, material deflation continued, and we should see deflation for the year. And through the year, our margins will strengthen, quarter by quarter. So that's really the story from an execution and operations standpoint. From a cash standpoint, we remain on track for $12 to $13 billion of CFOA for the year. For the quarter, our results are impacted by the NBCU transaction and working capital growth to support equipment sales through the year. Overall, GE's balance sheet remains very strong with $82 billion of consolidated cash and $15.5 billion of cash at the parent. So a story of strong cash flow, liquidity, and just strength in the balance sheet. I think that the things we've talked about with investors in the past, that all remains intact in the first quarter, and we're really happy about that. From a capital allocation standpoint, we really are seeing balanced and disciplined capital allocation, and that remains an important part of our overall strategy. As we said last year, we wanted to redeploy capital from NBC Universal to fast growth energy investments. And with Convertim and Dresser and Wood Group, Wellstream and Lineage, our major transactions are done for 2011. Meanwhile, we continue to emphasize growing the dividend as reflected by today's increase, our third in the past 9 months. We're focused on reducing our share count in 2011 and retiring the preferred equity by October of this year. And finally, GE Capital has very strong Tier 1 ratios, and we really have done, I think, an outstanding job, Mike Neal and the team, of strengthening GE Capital coming out of the financial crisis. So we feel good about our capital allocation plan. I think in the quarter we've executed on the things we said we were going to do for our investors, and this positions us, I think, for good long-term growth and as the year goes on and into 2012. So with that, I'll turn over to Keith to go through the first quarter operations.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. I'm going to start with the first quarter summary. For the quarter, we had continuing operations revenue of $38.4 billion, was up 6%. Industrial sales of $22 billion were down 6%, and the difference is created by NBCU. Our pre-tax gain that we have from the result of selling a majority stake to Comcast is included in revenue, but that also means we only had 1 month of NBCU sales in 2011 because we closed at the end of January. So I'll describe the gain on the next page, but a better indicator of our industrial revenue performance is on the right side. You can see we had $20.8 billion of industrial segment revenue, and that was up 8%. Financial services revenue of $13.2 billion was up 3%. For operating earnings, which excludes our non-operating pension expense, we earned $3.6 billion, which was up 58%. And for operating earnings per share, we earned 33 cents per share in the quarter, up 65%. As Jeff covered, we delivered $1.7 billion of cash from operating activities, which was down 34%, principally driven by NBCU. And for taxes, as we covered with you in January, we have a couple of large items that increase our tax rate for the first quarter. First, there's a large tax on NBCU, which I'll cover on the next page. The GE rate, ex-GE capital, 68% for the quarter. But excluding the NBCU gain, the GE rate was 22%, which is in line with the low to mid-20s range we gave in January. The second big factor that affects taxes in the quarter is that the GE capital tax rate has also gone up as we've expanded pre-tax income. The $800 million increase in tax expense is all explained by the tax on the $2.1 billion increase in GE capital pre-tax income in the quarter year over year. On the right side, you can see the segment results. I'm going to go through each business in more detail in the next several pages. Industrial segment revenue was up 8%. Segment profit was up 1% with all segments growing except energy. And GE Capital had a very strong quarter driving the overall results. One other point on the memo on the bottom left, we said that we would communicate the amount of NBCU earnings every quarter. I'm not going to go into any details on the results. Comcast is going to cover that in their upcoming earnings call. However, for the first quarter, excluding the gain on sale, GE included $93 million of pre-tax income from NBC Universal. Before I get into the businesses, I'm just going to cover some of the other items that affected the quarter. First is the NBCU gain. As we said previously, we expected a small after-tax gain when we closed the NBCU transaction. As you all know, we closed at the end of January. There was a gain of $400 million after-tax on the NBCU transaction. The pre-tax gain on our sale of NBCU was $3.6 billion, and that reflects Comcast's new ownership of NBCU and our receipt of $6.2 billion in cash and a 49% investment in the new JV. Because the JV is structured as a partnership, the taxes are recorded separately from the investment that we hold. So we had a very high tax rate on the transaction, $3.2 billion of tax expense, reflecting both our low historic tax basis in the NBCU assets and the recognition of deferred tax liabilities on our 49% investment in the JV. If you look down below on the page, partially offsetting that gain, we had 2 cents of after-tax charges in corporate related to restructuring and other charges. We had some site downsizing in energy, aviation, and healthcare, and we also had some capital defleeting. By business, just to give you the details of the charges on a pre-tax basis, energy was $66 million, aviation was $66 million, healthcare was $44 million, capital was $58 million, corporate was $48 million, and HMBS was $11 million. We also had 1 cent of after-tax deal-related costs that we took at corporate. Those are related to the energy deals that we had. So the NBCU gain was a little higher than we expected, and 1 cent of that gain fell through to operations. One other point on the quarter, not on the page, but we did have 6 more days in Q1 11 versus Q1 10 based on our fiscal calendar. We really don't have as much of a flow portfolio as we used to without plastics and NBC Universal. However, if you look at the impact on our service businesses, on the flow businesses in GE Capital, and on home and business solutions, we had roughly 1 cent positive from the additional days. On the other hand, we also had about a half a cent of negatives related to the disruption in Japan, and Japan's going to be covered by Jeff later in the pitch. So NBCU gained 4 cents in the quarter and partially offset by the other items. For the business results, I'm going to start with GE Capital. Mike Neal and the team delivered another quarter demonstrating significantly improving results. A revenue of $12.3 billion was up 3%. That includes the impact of the Garanti sale. We announced back in November that we were disposing of our Garanti stake, and we estimated we'd have a $300 million after-tax profit on that, and then we announced that it was going to close in the first quarter. So if you adjust for the Garanti sale, which in revenue was about $700 million, revenue would have been down about 2%, which was in line with our framework. Pre-tax earnings of $2.3 billion in the first quarter were up $2.1 billion. They were within $50 million of the total pre-tax for all of 2010, so a significant improvement in pre-tax. Net income of $1.8 billion was up $1.3 billion. We did have the benefit of the $300 million after-tax of the Garanti gain, but even without that, GE Capital had a great quarter. We had $940 million of after-tax, lower credit costs and marks and impairments year over year. Our volume was up 19%. That was mostly driven by the commercial business, which was up 56% from last year. We had $10.4 billion of volume in the quarter. Our consumer volume was up 9% over last year, and the new business margins remained strong. The overall portfolio margin was 5.1% in the first quarter. As Jeff said, our capital ratios are strong and continue to improve, and we continue to see broad-based improvement in our asset quality metrics. So let me go through some of the business results. You can see at the bottom left. First is consumer. Our consumer business continued to deliver very strong results in the quarter. We ended the quarter with $147 billion of assets, which was down 7%, and that's driven by the continued runoff in our mortgage and our auto businesses. In the first quarter, our U.S. retail assets were up 7%, and consumer net income of $1.3 billion was up 120%. That included the gain from Garanti. Excluding the Garanti gain, net income of $940 million was up 65%, driven by $400 million of lower credit costs. Our U.S. retail finance business earned $545 million, up 88%, also driven by lower credit losses as the portfolio performance continues to improve. And without including anything for the Garanti gain, our global banking business earned $281 million in the quarter, up 77%, also driven by lower credit losses. In the quarter, U.K. home lending earned $63 million, the sixth consecutive quarter with positive pre-tax and net income. Commercial real estate. Our commercial real estate business is still facing losses, as you can see, but we're seeing early signs of improvement. We lost $358 million in the first quarter, but that was $45 to $50 million better than last year's first or fourth quarter. In the first quarter, we had $55 million of after-tax credit losses and $315 million of after-tax marks and impairments. And during the quarter, we sold 113 properties for $1.3 billion with $28 million of gains. Our assets are down 14% year-over-year and down 2% from year-end. And we're seeing some early signs of increased liquidity for quality properties. We're seeing stabilizing rents and some places with rising occupancy. Overall, on average, some improvement in the debt portfolio, 1% to 2% in values in the quarter. So better than last year, but still challenging. Our commercial lending and leasing business also had another strong quarter. Earnings of $554 million were up 139% from last year. The results there were driven by lower losses and higher core income from pricing and fees. It's pretty broad-based. Americas were up 81%, Europe was up 24%, and Asia was up 90%. GECAS continues to have a good performance. The earnings of $306 million were down 3% from last year. The portfolio continues to be in strong shape. We had $16 million in non-earnings and zero aircraft on the ground. And Energy Financial Service earned $112 million, which was down 27%, driven by lower gains year over year. So overall, a really strong quarter for GE Capital. Next is asset quality. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all the detail here. On the left side, you can see our delinquencies continued to improve across all the portfolios. Our non-earning assets declined by $500 million overall, and our coverage on reserves to non-earnings was basically flat. On the right side, you can see our write-offs at $1.7 billion were greater than our new loss provision of $1.3 billion, so reserves came down by $400 million. Overall reserves ended the quarter at $7.6 billion, and the coverage was down 5 basis points to 2.42% as the portfolio performance continues to get better. Next, I'm going to shift to energy, over to industrial. Energy orders at $7.3 billion in the quarter were up 17%. Orders were up 10% organically, with equipment up 10% and services up 10%. The thermal orders of $730 million were up 57%. We had orders for 27 gas turbines versus 10 first quarter last year. The orders price for thermal was down 6%. We had strong aero orders of $387 million. They were up over 100%. And we had wind orders of $930 million that were down 22%. We had orders for 327 units this year versus 494 last year. And the orders price for wind was down 3%. Service orders of $3.9 billion were up 15%, driven by strong power gen services and measurement control systems and digital energy. In the quarter, revenues of $7.8 billion were up 9%. That's 4% organically, driven by the higher volume. Renewables revenue was up 31% to $1.1 billion. We shipped 366 wind turbines versus 349 last year, but the growth came from more 2.5 megawatt units, so we had some mixed impact there. For thermal, the revenues were down 15%. We shipped 9 fewer gas turbines. 32 this year in the first quarter versus 41 last year. And service revenues of $3.7 billion were also up 9%. Segment profit was down 9%. The benefits that we received from the higher volume were more than offset by lower price on wind, and we had net $115 million of higher programs and global investments. And we also had a small benefit of $29 million for the results of Dresser and Lineage in the quarter. On the bottom on the right, you can see oil and gas. Orders for the business were up 7%, driven by equipment orders up 11% and service orders up 3%. Wellstream added 4 points to the orders in the first quarter. Orders here are also lumpy on a quarterly basis. We had a strong growth in petrochemicals and refineries and strong growth in drilling and production, both up over 60%. And that was partially offset by lower orders in both turbo machinery and the natural gas segments. Revenues of $1.8 billion in the quarter were up 12%, driven by the growth in equipment up 17% and good strong services up 6%. And segment profit of $199 million was up 4% as the benefits of higher volume and deflation were partially offset by negative foreign exchange and higher program investments. So overall, we expect energy to continue to be down in the second quarter, and then we will see energy returning to growth in the second half of the year. Now, we don't have the businesses split in the technology infrastructure anymore, so I'll cover them separately. We'll start with aviation. Aviation market, you know, remained strong in the quarter. Orders of $5.1 billion were up 14%. Commercial engine orders of $1.2 billion were up 111%, driven by GE90, CFM, and small commercial. And that was partially offset by military engine orders of $600 million being down 36%, principally driven by less funding on the Joint Strike Fighter. The equipment orders price was down 0.4%. We ended the quarter with a backlog of $20.4 billion, up 3% versus last year. In the quarter, service orders of $2.8 billion were up 14%, driven by strong spares. In the quarter, our commercial spare parts orders were 25.4 million per day. That was up 32%, and that was partially offset by military services, which were down 1%. Revenue of $4.4 billion was up 5%, driven by the equipment up 3%, and services up 7%. Segment profit, $841 million, was up 5%. That was driven by the higher volume. It was driven by positive pricing, and that was partially offset by no repeat of the first quarter 10 service franchise fee with Texel that generated $74 million last year. And as we go through the year, R&D and launch costs are going to continue to ramp up in the second, third, and fourth quarter. On the right side, transportation had a very good quarter. The market continued to improve. Domestic rail volumes were up 5%. Park locomotives were down 5% from year-end. The orders of $938 million were flat, but that included one multi-year locomotive order last year for almost $300 million that didn't repeat. Service orders were very strong in the quarter, $500 million up 25%, and our equipment backlog closed at $4.1 billion, up 40% over last year. Our revenues of $900 million were up 18%, driven by higher volume. Equipment revenues were up 12%. We shipped 30% more mining and off-highway vehicle units, and locomotive revenues were about flat. Service revenues were up 23% on the strong parts sales. And segment profit of $157 million was up 37%, reflecting the higher volume and the stronger services. Next is healthcare. Healthcare team delivered another quarter of positive growth while they continued to reinvest. Orders of $4.1 billion were up 9%. Equipment orders of $2.1 billion were also up 9%, driven by healthcare solutions up 10%. We saw a strong growth in healthcare solutions. Just to go around the world a little bit, Eastern Europe and the Middle East were up 37%. China was up 18%. India was up 41%. And then in the developed world, Europe was up 2%. The Americas were up 5%. Service orders in the quarter were up 9%. And the equipment backlog of $3.9 billion ended up 6% versus last year. Revenue, $4.1 billion, was up 10%. It's pretty broad-based. If you go by product, ultrasound was up 21% in the quarter. Devices were up 13%. CT was up 13%. MR was up 3%. Life sciences were up 15%. X-ray was up 6%. And services were up 8%. And then segment profit of $531 million was up 7%. And that was driven by the higher volume. It was driven by positive productivity, and that was partially offset by negative price and about $50 million of higher investments in new products. And finally, on the right side, you can see H&BS. We had revenues of just under $2 billion. They were up 3%. We had strong revenue growth in intelligent platforms. The revenue was up 19%. Lighting was up 6%, and appliances was down 1% in the quarter. The segment profit in the segment was up 4%. We continue to see lower pricing and pretty heavy discounting in the appliance market. Lighting continued to benefit from our prior restructuring. And for the year, we still expect H&BS to be about flat as we ramp up, again, more new product investments. So with that, let me turn it back to Jeff.
Great, Keith. I thought I would give you a brief update on Japan, where I visited 2 weeks ago. You know, our first priority is to support our people through humanitarian efforts and offer technical support to our customers, and we're doing all of those things. We're also providing substantial power generation equipment to help meet the country's needs in 2011 and 12. Financially, as Keith mentioned earlier, we experienced about a $50 million negative earnings impact in the first quarter in healthcare, energy, and capital. Going forward, we see limited supply chain and market impacts for the year. I'd say it's more or less in balance. You know, it may impact timing, but overall results probably won't be impacted for GE for the year. You know, again, we're very focused on helping Japan recover and rebound and rebuild, and our teams are working diligently to support our customers in Japan. Now to update the 2011 operating framework. You know, industrial is about as planned, with energy, as Keith said, turning positive in the second half of 2011. You know, we really believe in acquisition integration, and, you know, we're really encouraged by an increase in gas turbine quote activity. We think those factors give us good momentum for our energy business as we get to the second half of 2011 and go into 2012. GE Capital, as Keith reviewed, is improving rapidly, really in every dimension, and corporate is about as planned. So for 2011, we really see very solid operating earnings growth, CFOA between $12 and $13 billion, mid-single-digit industrial organic growth. And I would say after the first quarter, you know, we're even more confident in the 2011 operating framework for GE and the outlook going forward. So just to summarize again some of the high points of the quarter, you know, I think capital allocation is key for GE. We've announced our third dividend increase in the last 9 months, up 50% in that time period. The buyback and dividend, you know, take priority as we get to the second half of the year. I think we've executed a good acquisition strategy as we redeployed capital from NBC Universal into the energy business, and we plan to redeem the preferred shares in the fourth quarter. Very solid GE Capital earnings growth, higher margins. We're having good asset growth in target segments. Losses are declining, and the balance sheet is safer and stronger. You know, I think we're in really good shape for accelerating industrial earnings growth. You know, it's positive in 2011 to accelerate in 2012. All the precursors are in place: good equipment orders, backlog growth, good service orders, and international growing double digits. And we're investing to build competitive advantage. R&D is in place. I think the new products that we're launching are showing up in our increasing order rates. The global growth of 12% says we're participating in the parts of the world that are experiencing growth. And the strategic acquisitions in energy and healthcare, I think, really position those businesses well for the long term. So that's an update on the quarter, Trevor. Let me turn it back to you, and we can take some questions.
Great. Thanks, Jeff and Keith. Tom, I think we're ready to open up the lines for questions now.